Good morning, everyone. We're learning Masechtas Brachos. We're in the fourth parak. We're on Chaf Chesem and Beis. We're up to the Mishnah. I'd like to be able to get to this very interesting piece of Gemara coming. So let's see this Mishnah. The Mishnah has a few different pieces. We'll at least see the first part in the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, actually the second Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Bechol Yom Yom Ispal Adam Shmon Esrei. So Rabbi Gamliel comes up with this tremendous chiddush that every day a person should daven Shmon Esrei. Okay, it sounds like you're speaking to a first grade class. That's what Rabbi Gamliel says. Every day, Bechol Yom Yom Ispal Adam Shmon Esrei. Okay, why not? So let's see the rest of the Mishnah understand why. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'en Yudches. Rabbi Yeshua, who, as we remember, argued in the past with Rabbi Gamliel and got Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel into a lot of trouble. Rabbi Gamliel lost his position as being a Nasi because of the Machlokes.
Temporarily,
right. We see, again, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees here, and he says, Me'en Yudches. What is an abridged Shmon Esrei? So if we look in Rashi, Rashi says, Me'en Shmon Esrei, the Gemara Mefarish. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain it, so hopefully we'll get to that at some point. But we'll see. It's apparently Rabbi Yeshua feels, for some reason, it's not necessary for one to actually say the whole Shmon Esrei. Let's say the abridged version. What's the abridged version? Well, we don't know it, so probably we don't hold like it. We don't pass it Rabbi Yeshua. Otherwise, we would know what the Me'en Yudches is. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, as Rabbi Kiva, who is a man that always represented Ahava, Rabbi Avta Rechamocha, so he's always able to find some type of shor or compromise between two people. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ishgur Tefilosofiv, if the prayer, if the feel is fluent and flowing out of your mouth, then Mispal Yudches. Then he says on the second wide line, you should daven the full Shmon Esrei v'imlam in Yudches. So if you're feeling good, then you should do the whole Shmon Esrei. If it's not flowing out, that's a siman that Hashem doesn't want to hear all of these words, and therefore you should just daven the abridged Shmon Esrei.
Is it that you're having a hard time today, or is it that one doesn't have the
knowledge? Good question. I don't know. We'll have to see when we get to when the Gemara goes through that part. We'll have to hold off and think about that question. We'll see what that means. Right? It could possibly mean either. Okay. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now we have another part. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ha'oisit Tfilosu Keva, Ein Tfilosu Sachanunin. The Gemara is going to have four interpretations of what this means. We're not going to see it today. But it says that a person who makes their tefillah keva, set, permanent, which of course all our tefillahs are keva, we daven at a set time, so we have to see what that means. But if you do that, which is not a good thing, ain't tefillah so sachanunim, your tefillah will not have a supplication.
That makes absolutely no sense. So you learned that you're supposed to have daven at the same time, you're supposed to look at the same location.
And, right.
Everything is right.
Again, you're supposed to daven
right,
at the same time.
So why that's opposite of what we've been taught all along?
Right.
I said it's four shopping in the Gemara.
Right. I'll tell you at least one of them. The last two the Gemara doesn't accept, the first does accept. So one of them is someone who gives the appearance kamaso, like it's a burden. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you daven at a set time.
Oh yeah, I gotta go daven.
Right. So it's like again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll understand that a little bit better. But that's the negative. It doesn't mean that you daven at a certain time of the day. Okay, that's the second part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ha'olech L'Makom Sakana. So a person is walking, you can use your imagination, some places in New York, in Makom Sakana, so Mispal Tefil Kitzara. So if you're in a dangerous place, so you should daven a Tefil Kitzara.
What is
a Tefil Kitzara? Since you did ask, the Mishnah is going to tell us. V'Omer, this is what a Tefil Kitzara is. So it's not the same thing as Me'en Yudches. It's not the same thing as Me'en Yudches. Yes. It's not, as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between the two? So the Me'en Yudches compensates for Shmon Esrei. However, this tefillah, which is a tefillah katsara, is not instead of Shmon Esrei. And therefore, you would have to daven when you get home. That's what we're going to see, one of the two differences between the two. We'll see the other one is whether you have to stand. V'omer, what is the tefillah? Hoshiya Hashem es amcha esheris Yisrael. So Hashem, you should spare and save, be the salvation for the Jewish people. The whole parshas Yibo. In all of our crossroads, in any way that we go, wherever we are, you sarcheihem lefanecha. Need should be before you. Baruch atah Hashem shemei tefillah. So this is the abridged Shema. This is not an abridged Shema Esrei. It's just this tefillah that Hashem should spare us when a person is in Malkum Sakana. Fine. And as we hear this, we may be thinking about tefillah sederach, which was, we are also going to see in the Gemara. It's going to talk about tefillah sederach, which is going to be in about a blot from now, the primary source to having to say a tefillah, which is connected to going to a dangerous area, is connected to what we just learned, which is tefillah sederach, which we'll see. Well, we did learn in the beginning of Masechtas Megillah that that's what a person is supposed to do. If you feel scared and endangered, that you're supposed to say Shema Yisrael.
So then why is this?
I guess we don't... That's a good question. First of all, we'll have to see if we actually paskin like this when we get to the Gemara. And we'll have to see that in Halacha when we see it. And if the answer is yes, then we'll have to. Then your question is much stronger.
It would seem that there would be a difference of just being in a Makom Sakona and then being afraid of a particular thing happening to you. Here he's talking about time for tefillah came. So he's in a Makom Sakona, he's walking through Harlem, time for tefillah, so saying tefillah could come. Right. But nobody's standing there, for Hashem, nobody's standing with a knife in front of him. Guys with a knife in front of him, say Shema Yisrael.
That's a possibility, that's a good answer. So, for those that recall, we heard the words tefillah katsara before in the very beginning of this Masechta when it came to there was an individual that was davening in a destroyed building, right? And it says Rav Yossi was sitting, this is on Gimel Mod Aleph, which we learned a few years ago. Anyway, and it said that Eliyahu Hanavi came, and he waited, and he was upset that he went to this destroyed building. So he said so he said that you should have davened on the road. He said, well, I couldn't have davened on the road because I was afraid people were coming to disturb me. And then he said, Hayul chol espal tefil katsara. You should have davened an abridged a tefil katsara. And that sounds like this tefillah, as the Mishnah says here, tefillah katsara, is referring to this tefillah, which is for sakana. That's why Rashi on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph said that it's havinenu, and says that later on, l'kama mefarish, beperk tefillah sashachar chav tes mud aleph. It's going to be explained right here. So that story, which we learned a few years ago, reminds us of this Mishnah we just learned. Okay, now let's understand this whole 18
bit. Except that we just said that the tefillah katsara in our Mishnah here is not havinenu.
It's not, right. That's the reason why Rashi has to say it's in brackets. I don't know why it's in brackets, but the reality is that it has to be havinenu. That when Eliyahu said tefillah katsara, it's not the tefillah katsara that we just learned about. Mm-hmm. And that's why Rashi had to explain that, because as we'll see on Chav Tes Mod Aleph, that's not in lieu of Shmoneh Esrei. Right, which is kind of what we learned about already. But that's the reason why Rashi had to explain Tefillah Katsara. For those that know this Mishnah, that wouldn't have, Eliyahu's answer wasn't a good answer. Okay, that was just a sidebar. Let's move on. Then the Mishnah gives us the following case. Hayrochiv al-Chamor. Person's riding a car, a donkey, or a train, or he's in a car, let's say, for example. Yorid v'ispalo. So he says that when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, you have to stop, you have to get off your animal, your horse, v'ispalo, you have to daven on the ground. You can't daven while you're riding. V'im enu yochol le'erid. Let's say it's just not practical, you can't get down. We're going to discuss problems. Why? Yachser es panav, then you should turn your face. Turn your face means toward, as Rashi says, Yachser es panav. Rashi says, let's side your Yerushalayim. You should daven toward your Yerushalayim, and this is, again, the Gemara over here is going to show the source why we daven everyone davens to your Shalayim. And what do you do if you're in your Shalayim? What do you do in the base of Mikdash? Right, we're always going to go through that. Let's say you're just riding, you just practically can't turn your head toward your Shalayim. If you can't direct your physical body to your Shalayim, then you can direct your heart and your emotions to that place. A person is riding, is on a boat, or they're on an asta. What's an asta? So Rashi tells us two interpretations. Asta says, if you look down the third line in Rashi, Lashon Echad, Eitzim, Lashon Acher, Eitzim, HaKashurim Ze Im Ze. If you, you have wood, which is...
No.
Well, see, Eitzim, wood.
It's stocks. Like if you were, you know, they stocked in like the hands and you walked in, you could go anywhere.
Oh, well, let's see how this interpreted. Lashon Acher, Eitzim, HaKashurim Ze Im Ze. You have a piece of wood which are tied to one another. Harbe Yachad, many of them together. So that sounds like you're on a little raft or something.
He also used two interpretations. One is a raft and one is stocks that a person's lying and they can't go anywhere.
Okay, right. So that explanation makes sense that we're talking about you have a boat or you're on a raft, so you're in the body of water, which means that you see nothing but water. So you don't know
where you are.
So, right, and you don't have a Loran or whatever it's called. Yechavenes libo keneged beis kodesh kodashim. Again, you dedicate your heart and focus to the kodesh kodashim. Okay, so all those parts, there's a lot of parts of this Mishnah. We'll get to that when we get to the Gemara. Let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah.
You're stuck in traffic. You have to go now. How do you
go about it? So that's something which I guess is going to be the same type of a question. Whether or not, just simply based on the Mishnah, if you're able to get off your donkey,
donkey. If you can't, you're sitting in Mechavad Debo and you're right. Daven while you're in your car. What are you going to do? You're on a plane. You're not getting off the plane.
Right. I wouldn't daven with your eyes closed. I mean, you know, there's a question. If it's a tefillah, it's going to be a toeva. You have to know. If you can pull over, at least pull over.
I don't know about the fly lot. That some, I don't know the negative person can possibly this way.
Sit to show us.
No. They said it's getting up for
Why is the reason for that? Because if you're bothering, if you're, 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 if I was already on LR flights recently.
Right.
And there was no minion. Right. No minion on the plane.
I thought I just was the only from guy on the plane.
Well, that's not the point.
I have a problem.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I don't know when to dock. 2:30 in the morning would be when am I going to dock?
Pretty soon.
When it gets light,
pretty soon.
Yeah, it does get light.
After they serve the meal.
No.
They don't serve a meal now in the middle of the night either. They give you a sandwich.
Oh, really? Oh, so that could be another issue.
Yeah, but you cannot get what it is.
So you have to be in an aisle seat, you're saying?
Yeah.
Or first class.
Back two row.
Yeah.
The only problem we have is...
Oh, right, the other people, right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Otherwise...
Yeah, it's yeah,
what can you do?
You can't.
You have to.
Yeah, but once in a day, you only have to get once a day.
What can you do?
Unless you get what it is, something that...
It's interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So they should sit in the front. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah. So that's apparently based on this mission. That's what it sounds like you're supposed to do. You try to pull over. You try to, if you can, safely get out of your car. That's it. Okay. Let's see the Gemara over here. Hani Yudches Kenegin Mi. We have an interesting name for our meat. It's called the Shmona Esrei. It's called the Shmona Esrei because that's a number. That's the whole prayer. It's called 18. Why? 18. Where did that number come up from? So we have three answers. I wouldn't say it's a machlokas necessarily, but there's three different possibilities, and each of them you could probably think of different reasons why it makes sense. Omer Rav Hillel Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So he says it's Keneged Yud Ches Askaros Sha'omer David Behavel Hashem B'nei Eilim. Another, when we put away the Torah on Shabbos, we say the paragraph, or saying, Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim. So if we look at that paragraph, this upcoming Shabbos, which is Rosh Hashanah, and we say Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim, you'll count Hashem's name is mentioned 18 times. 18 times. Hashem's name is mentioned in that Kapitel Tehillim 18 times. So what? So Hashem's name is mentioned 40 times in another paragraph of Tehillim. So what's so special about this paragraph? So Rashi tells us that if you look and study that paragraph, the entire Shemoneh Esrei is built on that paragraph. Some of them are easier to see than others. The last sentence is very easy, because what is the last sentence in that paragraph? So the last paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei, Birch HaShalom, right? So that makes sense. Rashi helps us out on the other side. If you look in Rashi, Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim, the B'nei Eilim, Rashi says, is a reference to our Avos. Shu Remez L'Avos, okay, what's after Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim? Gvuros Kedushas Hashem. You have clearly Havel Hashem B'nei Eilim. What's the next sentence? Kavod V'Oz, Oz is strength. And Bahardas Kodesh. Right, so at least those three Rashi helps us out with. You have Kodesh. So you have, you see. Hashem's name is mentioned 18 times there. And again, it's at least Rashi helps us out and tells us the first three. I guess it helps starts us off. And then as a homework assignment, you have to figure out the rest. It's not so easy to see the connections, but there has to be a connection. And the last one is clear. The last is Shalom. Okay, as many of our tefillos end that way as well, like Birchas Kohanim and the like. But nonetheless, that's how we see, that's why we have 18 tefillah, 18 brachos. Our Shemoneh Esrei is 18. It was instituted, established based on that paragraph of Tehillim. Okay, that's answer number one. Rav Yosef Omer, Rav Yosef provides a second answer. Again, I don't think this is necessarily a dispute, but the discussion will be which one is more of a reason to, or which is more comparable to the Shemoneh Esrei. Keneged Yudches Askaros Shebekriyashma. Go through Kriya Shema, you'll also find Hashem's name mentioned numerous times, 18 times. So the Shema, in which you have, we know where Samach Gul Tefillah, you have the Shema, then you have the Shemoneh Esrei right next to it. So there's this connection between the two. And there's a very clear necessity of acknowledging the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hashem Echad, being Mekabel Omachos Shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, which is in the Shema, and then afterwards we can stand in front of Hashem as we already accepted Hashem as our God, as the one God. So these are reasons why the Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei are interlocked; they're connected to one another.
By the way, I don't see it. I'm just looking quickly. I don't see a.
Hello, Kim counts as well.
Yeah. Says so. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Back off.
It's still worth going through and seeing that it's true. Omer Rav Tanith and the Omer Rav Yoshua ben Levi, for all those medical doctors out there, Keneged Shemoneh Esrei Chulios Shebeshedva. It corresponds to the 18 bones in the backbone, the vertebrae. The vertebrae. So what does that have to do with? So I've, a bunch of bones in my fingers and in my toes. Why do I care about my backbone? Why is that so important? So as we're going to see now in the next Gemara, that a major part of the Shemoneh Esrei, as we've discussed before, is to show our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show that we are owe everything to Him. And one way of doing that is by bowing down. When you bow down to someone, you're acknowledging that you are subservient to that person in front of you. So what I deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the concept of bowing down, which represents the shedra, the bowing, the bending of the backbone, is a way of acknowledging that we owe everything to Hashem, that we're completely dependent on Him, which is the whole theme of what Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to teach us. It's not just words, but it's supposed to break us so that we understand that we're not so great. We shouldn't be Bali Gaiva, we can't be haughty. And that's the purpose of the Shemoneh Esrei. Omer Avtan. So now let's go to the next couple of lines discussing how a person is supposed to daven, and more specifically, how one is supposed to bow. This is one of the two sources of, one is also in Baba Kama, also in Baba Basra, but over here it says as follows, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, HaMespalel Sarach Sheyichro, when a person bows down, you don't do a little nod, a little curtsy, whatever, but you have to bow down, Ad Shispavku Kol Chulio Shebeshedra, until it protrudes outward all of the vertebrae, that which is in your backbone. So, in other words, when a person bows, you don't just do a little bow, but it's supposed to be significant enough that you can actually feel the backbone coming out. Right? So, as Rashi says, she's poku shiiru hapkokim heim hakshar. That which you, they are all connected, you can actually see them protruding. So that's how far down one is supposed to bow. Most people don't do that. They're wrong. Ul Omer ad kedei shira iser keneged libo. According to Ula, he gives a different explanation exactly how much this is supposed to be. An iser is a coin. It says until one is able to see an iser keneged libo opposite their heart, which is really referring to their stomach. So when you bow down, as your back bones will protrude, your backbone will protrude out, your stomach will fold over. Right? And I guess, depending on how well we're doing with our Atkins diet, depends on how far we have to bow down. But the idea is that when a person bows down, they double over. Their flesh doubles over in their stomach. So at that point, once that happens, you know you bowed down enough. Okay, fine. And Rav Chanina Omer, Kivan Shitnana Rosho Shuv Eidu Sarach. He says, nah, all you have to do is just do a little head. Just bow your head. You don't have to move your body, your back, your neck, nothing. Your back, nothing. Just move your head like this. And more Shuv, more Eidu Sarach. You don't have to do that. So Rav says, well, 1 second, that's not the case. That's Vahu Dimitsa'er Nashe Umixi Kamandikar. The truth is you're not bowing down. By just doing your, moving your head, it's not really accomplishing anything as far as bowing, but it's mixi, it's the appearance, kamandikar, as though you're bowing, at least you're showing that you want to, but why aren't you? Dimitsar nafshe, you're in physical pain. If you're in physical pain, you're in tsar, then we allow you to bow down an insignificant amount. However, in the event that a person is able to bow down, one is supposed to bow down much further, much more. And if you look in Rashi, the Matzah Nafshe, Shuniker Shechavitz Lichro, it shows that you really have the desire to bow, Elishu Mitzayer, you have back problems or whatever, you physically can't do it, or it's dangerous for you to do it, right? Your chiropractor told you not to do it, right? He'd rather do it himself and charge you money for it. So the point is that that's the only time one can do a little bow. However, when a person otherwise bows, it must be done with a significant amount. Just one other thing, just a few other ideas with bowing, which the Gemara mentioned at the end of the first parak also, that when a person bows, when it comes to baruch, you bend the knees, atah, you bend down, and it says that before you say Hashem's name, you have to be straight. That's why we say Hashem zaykev kuchol kufim. That's the hint. So therefore, when a person bows down, before you say Hashem's name, and when it comes to the Chazaras HaShatz, not that you should be critiquing every single thing a person does, but some people, when they bow, and when they say Baruch Atah, they should be straight before they say Hashem's name. And that's something which to be aware of. Also, when it comes to Modim. Modim, you have a few more words, but once you get to Hashem's name also, you have to be straight for that as well. So that's something in which one has to be aware of. But again, the significance of bowing is such an important and integral part of the davening that one opinion says that if you do not, that the whole Shemoneh Esrei is based on the bones in your backbone. So therefore, if a person doesn't bow down properly, it's an issue. And it's brought down also in Baba Basra, Baba Kama, that a person who bows down, there's a bone called the loose bone. It's a very strong bone that is difficult to be even destroyed by fire, that is the source for Tchias HaMeisim. That's the when a person's body is rebuilt, that's going to be the source of that bone. And when a person bows down, it strengthens, so to speak, that bone. The idea is, again, showing one's humility and that by bowing, that's the way that a person's able to establish it. It's also brought down, one more thing about bowing, different people do different things, but it's brought down in the Gemara that when it bows down, it says you're supposed to bow down like a stick, and straight, and one quick motion, and when one gets up, you get up like a snake. That's what it says. The Gemara. And the idea behind this is that when a person bows down, and we want to show that we're subservient to HaKadosh Baruch, we do it quickly, because we want to show. And when it comes to us getting up to our normal way, then we straighten ourselves up. Okay, so let's see this next line. Hani tamni tsari tishtri havya. The problem with the Shemoneh Esrei, not only it's an interesting name that we call the most important prayer, a number, 18, that's all it means. The bigger problem with calling the most important tefillah a number is the name is wrong. Because we know that there's not Shemoneh Esrei, there's not 18 brachos. Hani tamni tsari. Tamni is 18. Tamni Tzar is 18. Tishtri happened. We know that there's really 19. What do you mean? 18 is 19. So Amrav Levi, Birchas Hatzadukim B'Yavne Tik. When it came to this 19th bracha, it wasn't established at the same time as the Anshei Knesset Gadol established it. But rather it was in a later time in Yavne, and that's the bracha Birchas Hatzadukim. And therefore the blessing, which we'll discuss next time, which is unbelievable, very fascinating, which we'll see, of Birchas HaTzadukim, clearly is not in chronological order, because the Birchas HaTzadukim is smack in the middle, and it's only put there in contrast to the next paragraph of Al HaTzadikim, Al HaChasidim. So the first paragraph talks about those who are not Tzadikim, saying it loosely, and this talks about afterwards it's Tzadikim. Of course, when it says Birchas HaTzadukim, that's Lashon Tzagi Nahar, it's a euphemism, it's not a bracha, but we don't, it's really a klala, but we call the bracha to the Tzadukim as a form of speaking nicer. Lashon Tzagi Nahar, of course, we call someone in the Chazal, someone who's blind, someone who's a Tzagi Nahar, someone with sufficient light, that's the Lashon, that's what we call someone who's blind, which is we try to speak in a nicer way. So let's at least get to the two dots. And then we'll understand the bracha Birchas HaTzadukim better. But the Gemara now wonders if, in fact, the Shemoneh Esrei wasn't just made up, but it had a makar, had a source from either the paragraph of Tehillim of Shemoneh Elim, or the Shema, or the bone, or backbone. So, what do you mean? There's only 18 names of Hashem, so how could we just institute a 19th? We can't just institute a 19th. There has to be based on something. It has to have some source. So Amrav Levi, Rav Hilberet, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Keneged Kael Hakavod Herim. Kael is one of Hashem's names. So we said that in the paragraph of Havo Hashem Ne'elim is 18, but also we're going to now stretch and institute this 19th bracha because it also has another word of Hashem, Kael HaKavod Herim. So that's how we're able to say a 19th. Rav Yosef, Keneged Echad Shebikriya Shema. There's only 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned. And there's no Kael, unless you want to say Kael Melech Nemlon, but you don't say that unless you're by yourself. So where is the acknowledgement of God? In the word Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. So Echad, what's Echad? Hashem. So, and Hashem is the only thing which is unique, which is Echad, is one. So when we think of that which does not have a pair, that's Hashem, and therefore that's the 19th. The Rav Tanuchin, Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Chuli Ketana Shemeshedra. Obviously, it would be good to have a diagram over here, but apparently there is a 19th bone, in which is small, that they didn't really want to include initially among the count of the 18, but now that we wanted to institute a 19th bracha, therefore there is this 19th bone. Okay. Again, we'll next piece of Gemara is unbelievable. We'll discuss the bracha, who established it, and all these things connected to it, and everything like that. We'll stop here.